I'm Jay Percy.
And welcome to the Afro-Animist Podcast.
We are two Abir women and animist conjurers exploring witchcraft, healing and psychedelics.
The Afro-Animist Podcast explores the secular through the spiritual, discussing life experiences through a sacred lens.
Here you'll get to hear talk about philosophy, metaphysics, occultism, shamanism, culture, healing, nature, animism,
the arts, conspiracies, psychedelics and witchcraft. Nothing is off the table in these discussions, which aim to get to the heart of what it means to be spiritual and Afro-diasporic in an increasingly sterile, authoritarian and Eurocentric world.
As Afro-Caribbean millennial Londoners, we keep it real whilst exploring the biggest mysteries of our multiverse. Join us in holding this space to cry, laugh, debate, build community and tear down oppressive structures.
Welcome, 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 you beautiful, beautiful being of the multiverse. You are here today with me, Jay Percy, the artist.
And me, Nicola, on the Afro-Animist Podcast.
Yes, welcome to the Afro-Animist Podcast. We are so happy to have you here. And before we go into today's topic, I thought we should just remind you all of where we exist on the interwebs. So you can find us on Instagram at the Afro-Animist Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Afro-Animist. The titles there are shorter, so we had to cut it down. Sorry. We're also on TikTok, the Afro-Animist Podcast, and we are now on YouTube, the Afro-Animist Podcast. So everywhere online, we are the Afro-Animist Podcast, but for Twitter, who have a lot shorter names, and hopefully Elon Musk sorts that out now that he's become the overlord of Twitter.
I don't think we can have that conversation. I'm not ready to have that conversation yet.
No. Not today. We're not going to have that conversation today. But whatever. What a world we live in, huh? This week, what are we talking about?
We are talking about one of my most favourite things. The magic of hair. Now, this to me, this podcast could be about 6 hours long, guys. So just bear with us. I think,
yeah,
as you can see, we're both curly girls, and we got a lot to talk about in this. We had to think a lot about our headpieces.
Yeah, we had to do our hair before coming on here.
We had to do our hair. Oh, and this, I need to say this. I'm sorry. Like, obviously, this is going out on video. And I was saying to Jay yesterday, I was like, we need to make sure the crowns are ready. I didn't wash my hair until this morning. Now, if you have curly hair, you know what this means. This means that my hair will not be dry until tomorrow morning. So I was like, I'm sitting here looking at myself in this video, like I said, talking about how fabulous hair can be. And I'm going to go through that. I don't know. Do you ever have that? You know, when your hair's drying and there's like a 2 hour ugly stage of where it's kind of like half dry, half crispy, and you just... It just reminds me of the 90s when we used to have like wet gel and just crispy hair. Anyway.
Oh yeah, what was that about? That was whatever. That was an era.
It was a fucking era, man.
But like the side swoop, okay, the slip back, the crispy curly ends.
Do you know what? I never did that. I never had it. I could never do, and even now still, like I try and get onto the baby hairs and like do something about them, but they won't ever respect my life choices.
Edges never respect life choices.
No.
I guess I want to kind of precursor this episode with a couple of caveats. We know we've got very many. Is that English? We have a lot of bull queens and kings that listen to us. Either you've chosen to shave your head, or you know you've lost hair through alopecia or cancer treatments. And I don't want any of you to feel like any less of a person in this episode. To quote India Ari, I am not my hair, I am not my skin, I am the soul that lives within. But as we talk about this vehicle of a body that we have, I think hair is pretty spiritual, it's pretty magical, which is why we're talking about it on this podcast, right? We talk about the mundane through the spiritual lens. Mm-hmm. So today we're really going to be looking at this idea of the hair, the crown chakra through that lens. So, yeah, I hope you can enjoy what we're talking about. Maybe you have some experiences around hair. And, you know, we'd love to hear about them. Put them in the comments, put them in the DMs, you know, let us know.
You say stuff so beautifully, Jay. And yeah, we just...
Thank you.
Again, it's like we're not telling anyone what to do or how to be or anything like that. But there is something amazing, I think, that we miss when it comes to our hair a lot of time. And especially as, like, ethnic people, people who don't have dead straight hair. And look, I don't actually like to even say ethnic people with that, because to be honest, even among my white friends, the majority of them have textured hair. And I just feel like throughout our history, as we know, especially when it comes to black people, like the power of our hair has been taken away from us. But I feel like even interestingly, throughout society, because we use our hair as a vanity thing and we don't necessarily understand the different levels that we have. When it just comes to the body vessel and all the different ways that it works, like, I think we're missing out on something pretty big. One thing that always used to, I've always had long hair as well. And it's like, I feel like I need to have that. For me, it just feels most natural. But I used to always straighten my hair as well. Which...
What compelled you to do that?
It's how I was brought up. And like, what's crazy, right? My granny was Jamaican, but she had straight hair. I've never seen anyone with hair like hers before. So it was like, it was coarse, like afro textured hair, like kinky hair, but it was straight. It's so crazy.
Yeah, I know what you're on about. It's like, if you were to zoom in, it's like, it's tiny micro curls, but it just lays very straight.
Exactly.
It's just, it possesses more of that stiffness that perhaps afro hair, am I getting that right?
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so my granny always had really long hair, and she would always tie up. She'd always do like these, she tied it into two plaits and then she wrapped them around her head. But then her children all have like really like quite kinky hair, not the most kinky. But that at the times, you know, coming home from Jamaica in the 60s, having your kids and then the hair's just, it's just one situation. It's just the hair's being blown out, hot combed, scraped back. Like, so my mum never really knew how to do like her hair naturally. She always did the same thing when I was going. She'd do, relax it, have a blowout, and then she'd like tongue it all and brush. It was some long process. Not longer than my process now with my natural hair though, if I'm honest. And she would just blow dry my hair. So I had like proper ringlets, like when I was a little girl, like dolly ringlets. And then she just started blow drying it. And so for me, it was just like, that's what you did. You just blow dry it. And it would be, I'd wash my hair like once a week, maybe every 2 weeks, because it took like 3 hours to blow dry my bum length hair. And it wasn't until I got into my 20s, after going through like a whole life of blow drying. And then obviously when GHDs came out, babe, my hair never grew past this length because I was straightening that shit every day to have this kind of like perfect hair, straight, or, you know, perfect straight hair, whatever. And it wasn't until I was like in my 20s and I just was like, fuck this, I just can't be bothered. And so I just tied my hair up for like 2 years, and then I I do actually have a really interesting story about how my hair went this curly again, because after all of that my hair was really, it never went curly. I fried the crap out of it. I'll show you. Maybe I'm gonna find some more pictures and I might post them on the Instagram. We'll see. But I do have a really interesting story that I will tell you. I don't have to tell you right this moment because I want you to speak, but that I will tell you about how my hair went back to being curly, because it was a completely like spiritual fucking moment when I actually started taking care of my like hair as curly hair. And I had like such a deep experience with it. But what about you? Have you always had your hair natural, or have you straightened it when you were growing up?
No. Do you know what? When I was a very small kid, my mum, she, you know, this is one of the things that I will definitely like write home about my mum. She, every Sunday without fail, she would wash my hair. She would condition it with like an egg or some mashed banana or something. She would deep condition, she would comb through, detangle it, and I had like waist length hair. It was very long. If you were to straighten it, it would probably touch my bum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for special occasions like Christmas, it would be the hot comb before we had electric straighteners. It would be heating up this comb on a stove and, like, you're having to hold your friggin' ears. And I had long hair, so it took, like, a long time. But every week for, like, 4 hours, it would be deep conditioning, washing, and then she would blow dry it. She'd blow dry it. So I didn't really know my texture for a while because it was just blow dried. And then she would plait it all up very neatly. And my hair got very long. And then one weekend, I mean, I feel like every week is trauma time with Jay. Oh, yeah. But one weekend I went to my dad's house, my dad and his wife at the time. And I think we went swimming or something. And I don't think that we used the cap or whatever. So when we came back home, I used to go every other weekend to spend time at my dad's house. And he had, every time he couldn't get the comb through the hair, he just cut it. And he said to me, I was 8 years old. He just said, oh, we're just going to trim it up. Him and his wife at the time sat behind me and they said, oh, we're just going to trim up the hair. And I didn't know what they were doing. I was playing with my dolls while they were doing my hair. And then at the end, they go, like, look here. And they just showed me this big ball of hair. And my heart sank. My heart sank so hard. I cried. I really cried. I looked in the mirror and the first thing I said was, I am ugly. And I felt it. And I feel it now telling you this story. All at school, everyone was fascinated by my hair. There would be little girls who would run up to me and tell everyone, oh yeah, that's my cousin, just because I had this long, beautiful hair. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a big part of my appearance that, you know, the small children at school, even at age 6, like, made a big deal about. So to have all of this cut off, and then his wife styled it with, like, a little top, a thing at the top and a thing at the back, and it's, like, that long. Bear in mind, it was something that, you know, people in my class were tied to chairs for a joke. And when my dad dropped me off back home, he didn't park up the car. He sort of hovered outside, dropped me at the door. I rang the doorbell. I went in. My mum sort of looked for a second, but didn't. But as I went up the stairs and she looked at me running up the stairs, because there's stairs that come straight to the front door, she started screaming, and it was a whole argument between my mum, like, screaming at my dad in the car, and it was just horrible. It's probably one of the most traumatic things I've ever been through in my life. And I honestly feel like I lost a lot of power, lost a lot of self-esteem with that happening. So, sorry, I'm aware this is a bit of a long story. Some kind of ending. So, yeah, after that, he suggested, well, why don't you relax her hair? Because every time my mum would put her hands in my head after that point, she would just cry. Oh. So our ritual, like, one of the few things where I actually had a calm, non-stressed mother, because she was stressed all the time growing up. Like, that was the once a week where I had, like, a calm, stress-free mum. That bonding ritual went just like that, gone. And every time she put her hands in my head, she would cry. So we ended up getting my hair plaited by one of her friends. One of her friends was a white woman and had mixed race children, and she had a Guyanese nanny who knew how to braid hair. So I used to go around there, like, every few weeks, and she would, you know, braid my hair, probably for, like, cheap money back then, probably like a tenner. Mm. These days you couldn't pay that for that. And so I had cane row for years, but then when it got to secondary school, and the group I hung around in was quite multicultural, you know, everyone had this, like, lovely, luscious hair, and I felt really insignificant. So I would straighten my hair. Mm-hmm. And I remember even being late for one of my drama GCSE practice exams once, because I just refused to go on stage unless my hair was, like, bone straight. And I remember my teacher being, like, really perplexed at why that would be such a big thing to me. Mm-hmm. I remember getting in a fight in school because someone chopped off a little bit of their hair, so I waxed them with my hairbrush. Sorry, Morgan.
No, Morgan deserved that. Why were they cutting off their hair?
It was just a source of trauma for years. So by the time I got to college, I was like relaxing this thing. I had weaves. I learned to put in weaves myself to get back some kind of semblance of my hair. And then I made a mistake of trying to dye my hair and relax my hair at once. And then it just started breaking off. So in looking for the treatment, never do that. Stupid. So in looking for a treatment to this stupid mistake I made, I ended up coming across natural hair bloggers for the first time on YouTube, and this would have been about 2009. And I decided that I was going to go for the big chop, so I was going to chop off all my hair, which even as I say feels visceral because it's that moment of being a kid again, chopping it back to that short.
Yeah.
I wore headscarves and got hit on by Moroccan men endlessly for like the next 2 years. Ah, just speaking to me in French, it's like, babe, it's not that, I can't. Ne parle français. No. That was so interesting. I say this because it's just interesting the different perceptions people have of you depending on your hair.
Yeah.
When I had straight hair, people viewed me as more European. I'd have like those Hotep men really going in at me like, oh, you're embracing your white side. When I'd have headscarves, it'd be the North African men like trying to chat me up in French because they think I'm some virtuous Moroccan woman. I'm not Moroccan. when I started growing out natural, I started getting hit on by like these Brazilian men and these like Latin men, and then yeah, it's been such a journey because it's had such significance in my life, and it really has affected my self-esteem and how I view myself, you know, spiritually. Like, why would any of that happen? Why would I have to go through all of that? It should be just hair, right? Why do I have to go through this whole discovery of the self through something that feels inanimate?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think brings us on to the sort of main bulk of what we'll be talking about today, in that hair we're taught is inanimate and dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really not. And, you know, there are several different cultures from like Muslim to Kemetic to Sikh to Jewish to Rastafarian to Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much doctrine that tells us that hair isn't just hair. It's a source of power. It's a source of identity in a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So going through that journey really just has been a question on my identity to a tribe, my identity to my spirituality,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is why we decided on this topic last night. I think the last couple of episodes we have a whole long list of episodes we're going to do. Like, it's so long. You guys are in for a treat. But the last couple of episodes, we've spoken about something or sent each other a post and be like, that's the one we're talking about, sorry.
Yeah.
And that happened last night. And we're like, yeah, that's the one we're talking about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it's important. It's important to us in different ways.
100%.
Or same ways, and even.
I think it's so important, like, actually your story to link into like the importance of it, because obviously that's multifaceted. We have like an importance in the way you look in society, which is, I think, where the issue when it comes to hair, full stop, and feeling ugly and all that kind of stuff, that's where that comes from. It's what society is telling you is beautiful. And obviously, until very recently, like when I started wearing my hair curly, no one was into it. I was just wearing my hair curly because my hair had changed. It had like reverted back to how it was originally, and I literally didn't want to go through the whole rigmarole of, I couldn't be bothered was the main thing, but I also thought, oh, actually maybe I should have curly hair. You know, like, I haven't dyed my hair since, I don't know, for like 15 years. I used to dye it all the time, and then there was a moment where I was like, my hair color is really beautiful. Like, I actually love my own hair color. And out of all the colors that I dye my hair, that's the color that suits me the most. And then there was another realization with the curly hair thing with that. But it takes a massive strength. And it took a massive strength like 15 years ago to make that decision when you couldn't really get the hair care products. Nobody like really accepted that. Like I'd go to job interviews and be told, I remember one time I went to a job interview and I had like essentially the same hairstyle I would have if my hair was curly. Like I just had this bit kind of tied back, like really neat, like kind of back office do. But because it was a bit textured and it wasn't like, the woman literally said to me in the job interview, when you go in to do this work, like you're going to have a different hairstyle. And I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. You know,
what?
Yeah. And this, I'm talking about like fucking 2010 or something. It wasn't that long ago. So there's this whole connotation about looking messy, looking ghetto, not being neat, all that kind of stuff. That, and obviously because we've had this blonde, white, tall, thin standard of beauty for so long. I just, you know, but I think there's also something deeper to it. So the feelings that you have when it comes to that like, oh, it's so horrible, Jay. Like, what a trauma, actually, for a little girl especially. I'm not limiting it to little girls, but especially who's got long hair, mixed race. So it is a big deal because not everyone has it. It's a bit a unique part of your story. So then for that to just be taken away from you like that is fucking traumatic. And of course it's going to make you feel ugly. But then there's also something else behind that where you had this connection with your long hair, your like virgin baby hair that was long, and it wasn't about it being long, but it was about it being uncut. And that's what we're talking about today. Like when you're in this kind of spiritual connection to the hair where it is an extension of you and your body. So if that just goes like that, especially when you're a child and you're open, I can imagine there would have been that there would have been a special kind of void, like for that loss, because it is deeper than just
unexplainable.
Unexplainable, exactly.
Unexplainable. It felt like a piece of me was missing.
Yeah.
You know, like phantom limb syndrome. Because I used to be, I would like chew my hair all the time. Yeah. I'd be playing in my hair. My hair would be, it was there, and then going to this place where I'm expecting it just wasn't there for the longest time. For it to be all like cane road up and to my skull, you know, it taught me about the beauty of cane row. It taught me about the beauty of protective styling. But it also, I think it's one of my earliest losses.
Yeah.
One of my earliest reckonings with, wow, this is life. Yeah. Someone can just take a part of you away from you, and you've had no say.
Yeah. And obviously there's this whole, you know, this is one of the things, like culturally throughout history, one of the techniques that enslavers or colonizers have used to take away the power of the people they're going to colonize is to shave their head. Now, why would we do that? You know, and you have to think.
Because hair is an identifier of tribe identity. They did this to the native people of Turtle Islands, now USA, and Americas. And they did this to Africans who were captured and enslaved. Because depending on the tribe, depending on your marital status, depending on your age, depending on your status within the tribe, you would have different hairstyles. There'd be different beads. There were different hairstyles you could or couldn't have because, you know, you that was assigned for a very specific type of person within your tribe. This one's for a healer. This one's, you know, for a woman who's just been married. All of that. Yeah. This one's for a warrior.
Yeah.
And we see the same thing on both sides of the pond, that the hair had a huge cultural significance to indicating what tribe you were a part of and who you were in the world. So it was important for colonizers to take away that form of identity, right? Because in this enslavement, they stripped everyone naked, and what you have left, your hair, that's still a sign of identification.
Yeah.
I think in the past when you'd go, I don't even know if they still do it now, when you go into prison, they would have shaved the head off.
Oh, yeah.
I think you know, the people who do these things on the front line, they probably don't hold the knowledge as to why they're doing that. They're just they're order followers, you know, old Nuremberg defense.
Yeah.
But I think that there is a system behind that where they definitely understand why we shave hair. And it's not just a tribal thing. It's also how spiritually significant the hair actually is in terms of intuition, mm-hmm. in terms of, communicating with the environment around you and having all of your full senses. It's a sensory organ,
mm-hmm.
but we in the West, you know, it's just something to cover in silicone, straighten with our GHDs and slap on the front of Cosmo magazine. It holds no importance,
yeah.
except for purely aesthetic value,
mm-hmm.
in this culture,
mm-hmm.
which in my heart of hearts, it's never been that way for me.
No, same for me. But having like a conscious understanding of it for me came through experience, mm. like completely. I said to you, I was straightening my hair all through my teens, like really didn't feel like myself. Again, for you, because I'd grown up with this really long hair. I used to have what I called like a Tomb Raider plait, like a Lara Croft plait that would go down to my bum, and I would just like whip the boys with it at school to be like in my plait. And then obviously getting into being, you know, right, going to secondary school, and then all of a sudden everyone's got all this luscious, amazing hair, and they're trying out all this different stuff, and getting into straightening it. There was one time I went to school with my hair not straightened, and literally the conversation the whole day was about that, and I was really shy, so it was just like I couldn't go back with my hair not straightened, so it just became the thing that I did all the time. And then, like I said, I left school. I'm an athlete, like, and I was doing stunts, so I was training a lot, fucking straightening my hair, going through that whole rigmarole every week of doing it. It was so much, and I just couldn't be bothered, and I didn't care in that way anymore.
Yeah.
So I just stopped straightening it for a little while.
Mm.
And then but my hair was in this weird kind of place where it was, as any of you will know, when you're straightening your hair for years and years and years, it does literally kill the hair. All the curl will drop out. It's just damaged. Mm. It's you know, dead straight, weird hair. And it wasn't doing anything nice. But I went to, my second ceremony that I ever did with grandmother or ayahuasca, I went up to this place to do it in the country. And it was a very interesting session for me because I was all of a sudden put into this kind of group of people that I didn't know any of them. I was also suffering with fibromyalgia, which I didn't know that I had at the time, but I was all of a sudden, I was just like in crazy pain all the time. I couldn't recover from my training. So I ended up, you know, making it like fucking pilgrimaging to this like ceremony and having this deep ceremony. It was crazy. I'm not going to talk about it too much now, but it was crazy for me. It was very hellish. And I literally felt like I'd been dragged to hell and back. And then the next day when I kind of came out of it, that's what I looked like. My back felt better though, like my fibromyalgia felt better. And then I kind of jumped, I took a journey down to Devon and I jumped in a stream. And when I came out, my hair was like this. And I can't tell you how weird that was for me because it hadn't been like that up until that point, not since I was like 3 years old. So I kind of got out.
Where's this magical stream?
Start more. That's why we need to go. magical stream of curly hair. It's just got loads of conditioner in it. No, basically. So then I had this curly hair, and all of a sudden I was like, "What the fuck do I do with this?" Because it couldn't, like, to the point where the products I'd taken with me on that trip would not deal with this hair that I'd just woken up with that day. It was so profound. I almost can't explain. And I had started to have these feelings. So I then started to pay attention to what it really felt like when I was walking around with my curly hair out. And I'm telling you, man, I felt so like connected, but I also felt really like everything was at the surface. So I started to really recognize that when my hair was down, especially when it was curly, I felt like I was taking on so much stuff. I, at the time, also was really into, like, I was doing my Vedic studies, and I was taking my initiations with my gurus and stuff in India. So I started to receive a lot of teachings about hair from them. And it's a completely different understanding to kind of what we have, in the sense of, like, if you see a woman with a head wrap on, sometimes as a Westerner who doesn't have those rules or things in your life, it can be like, why is she having to cover herself up? Why is she, do you know what I mean? All those, I feel like those are sometimes the main issues for people.
Well, for, just to interject, for a very long time, when Islamophobia was the popular thing in front of the Daily Mail, you know, they pick a new, mm-hmm. new racial target every decade. It's just throw a dart at a board. Who do we hate this decade? But for a while, we remember, it was Muslim women. Mm-hmm. You know, why are they covering their hair? How dare they? If they come into Western society, they have to follow Western rules. Yeah. Okay, that's weird to me to tell people what to do with their fucking bodies and how they dress, but whatever.
100%.
But yeah, go on.
But yeah, so basically that. So my understanding then became this. Like, for example, my yoga teacher, she was saying to me that, you know, it's really important to have your hair tied up, because when your hair is out in the day, you're absorbing loads of energy from the sun, which is amazing, but also can be really overpowering. And you're also absorbing the energy from other people, other places, because your hair is literally like an extension of your nervous system. So, yeah. And there were many stories that I think we'll come around to in this podcast where that kind of suggests that. So this is an extension of your nervous system. So it's also covering, like, your crown chakra, which is obviously a very important chakra, opens you to the universe. If that is feeling open, like, the best thing for you to do is tie your hair up. It's why you'll see, like, Kundalini yogis and people like that having these turbans. They're always wearing these turbans. It is literally just to protect their crown chakra, protect their hair, and keep them clean from all the extra energy that's about. Now, that I cannot tell you how visceral that experience of kind of understanding that concept was when I started to actually have my hair natural. And it completely changed my opinion about it. All of a sudden I was like, yeah, my hair's beautiful. You know, and before that it was like, no, this is some frizzy fucking hot mess. Why didn't I get my dad's jeans? You know, literally those kind of thoughts and feelings, like, but there's something very special about it, for sure.
Yeah, I think within that tradition you're talking about, it's advocated that you have a rishi knot, and it's believed to absorb, that hair is believed to absorb and emit spiritually pure vibrations. So a rishi knot, tying it in a knot at the top of the head, the circular shape keeps the, I'm sorry, I'm reading from my notes here. The circular shape keeps energy moving in a clockwise manner, and the energy retains in the body. Actually, that's the first time I'm like looking back at my notes and seeing the clockwise manner. And that didn't even link in my mind when I was writing my notes to the fact that when we talk about Afro hair being a spiral, being the shape of DNA, being the shape of the Fibonacci sequence, you know, here's an excerpt from Blacked Out Through Whitewash. Spiral hair has higher magnetic attraction for higher energies. It may also have the ability to concentrate or focus these higher energies like a magnifying lens, concentrating sun rays. Whatever abilities it has are surely increased and intensified the nappier the hair is. Not my word. I wasn't use the word nappy. Thus, the nappiest hair, the hair which African people are conditioned to reject and despise the most, turns out to be the most valuable. I think she's using the word nappy here as a reclamation word, like the N-word. It's not a word that I'm particularly fond of, because its connotations and relations to slavery. But what we're talking about is the really, really tightly coiled 4C hair here. Mm-hmm. And this idea of a spiral, whether it be a rishi knot wrapping the hair in a spiral, or whether having spiral hair, it has an effect of like concentrating energy, which I think is pretty darn fascinating, because when we think about light and sound, it moves in waves, but so sort of spirals, right? It's not just a flat wave, it's a 3D structure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how spiritual is the hair in essence? And we just simply don't have the science to or the language to quantify or qualify that as yet.
100%. I think it's, but it's another one of those things, isn't it, of like remembering. So this is just simply stuff that has been forgotten, usually because it's been taken away, because it's empowering.
Yeah.
So, you know, I it's just making me think about as well, like, and this is a story that I absolutely love. Oh, I should have researched it. Because I'm thinking, I don't know. So there's, I'm not sure what war it was, but in America,
yeah.
I feel like it was maybe Second World War, possibly even Vietnam, I'm not sure. But
I think it was the Vietnam War.
So I've read loads of things. Yeah. And back in the day when I was just, you weren't really finding this information about kinky hair. Like, you weren't finding out about curly hair specifically. You were just finding information about hair. So like back in the day, this is something, again, like when I started to have my experiences, that really spoke to me. That apparently when a lot of Indigenous Americans were enlisted to be in the Vietnam War, we think, they obviously shave their heads because that's what they do. So what they went to certain tribes and they found the most amazing trackers, because in Indigenous Americans have like literally this old amazing ways of tracking, like spiritual tracking, that we cannot understand because it is spiritual. So, you know, the American army can recognize that these people are insanely skilled at this, but they don't know why. They enlist them for that job for the war. Okay, so you're going to be our trackers. Shave their head and they completely lost their tracking ability. And the whole thing was that it was like, it's our hair. It's our hair that connects us to the world. This is where we are able to. I think a great example of this is Avatar. Mm. Now, if you can remember the film Avatar,
yeah,
and how they connect their plant. When I saw that shit, I was like, oh my God, Cameron, you know, you've done your research, bruv. Because like, you know, the way that they connect in like that, that's exactly what I understand it to be. Obviously, we don't physically do that, but like, that's basically the understanding of it.
If you haven't watched Avatar, they have these long like locks, which they will literally connect into the flora and fauna around them to gain, to connect back to the grid, the spiritual grid.
It's literally like they've got nerve endings, so active nerve endings in their hair. And so then all the other beings, all of the plants, oh, it's good. It's a gorgeous concept. All of the other beings, all of the other plants on this planet, you can connect in. They all have this kind of open nervous system that can plug into each other. Now, as a visual, that is phenomenal. It's such a beautiful visual. Because I genuinely feel like that is how it works. Even though we don't physically do it like that, that's what we're doing, and that's the part that we don't understand, the nervous system that is outside of our body, or the connection that we have in this electromagnetic aura that we now know is proven to be there, but the lack of understanding in those spaces means that this can seem like really fucking out there when it actually isn't that out there.
Definitely. And do you know what's kind of weird is this wasn't not in the European / ruling class colonizer realm of understanding, because we can go back to the Bible and we look at the story of Samson and Delilah, who you know, Samson, I can't remember what tribe he was from, but he was basically trying to marry women of, or get in with women of other tribes, and you know, he was advised, we don't do that. He ends up meeting this woman Delilah from who is a Philistine. And her whole MO was to go in and find out, like, this guy had strength. He, like, beat up a lion. I am so sorry if I'm butchering the Christian religion. So he's able to fight a lion. He is, like, this Herculean-type character. And this Delilah is given the covert mission of finding out how this guy has such strength. And she gets in with him, you know, honey traps him, and he's sort of like, I think maybe she's after my secret for my strength, not sure, but eventually they get very close. She honey traps him successfully, I guess, and he reveals to her that, you know, the strength comes from my hair. So while he's sleeping, the Philistines cut off his hair, and Samson is now weakened, and this enemy of this tribe is essentially taken out. So this was in the European sphere of consciousness, because Christianity is the moral universe that unfortunately rules the West. So it's not like it isn't known. It's just, I guess, when we've taken things like Christianity in the West and decided that we're a more secular society, we've completely thrown the baby out with the bathwater, mm-hmm. and we don't understand that these stories, maybe they're not accurate stories, but they are actually like allegorical, and there's something to teach us in here. Which is why, I guess, anyone who ever sees that I'm an Obeah woman and tells me, "Oh, you need to find Jesus," like, bitch, I understand the Bible better than you.
I'm sorry.
But these, sorry, tangent. These things are understood, right? They're understood. Mm-hmm. They are understood. So I guess my question to you then would be, if we know these things, what would this mean for people who are choosing to remove their hair? What does this, I'm not asking you, no, thinking that, oh my God, she's going to have an answer, but what does this mean? Maybe this is something we can talk about and try to understand here, right now, yeah, cool. in this space.
I'm glad you don't expect me to just have the answer.
No. I think we don't have the answers here on the Afro-Animus podcast.
No.
We are not gurus. We are simple spiritual students asking questions, discussing important topics.
Exactly. it's interesting. I mean, I think that there are so many reasons why somebody may not have hair. And I think it's really important to be sensitive to all of those reasons. Like, it could be, well, you know, illness or choice are usually the reasons, right? Mm. Or maybe some religious things. I don't think it's wrong or damaging to not have hair, especially if it's your choice. Mm. I feel like there is something, obviously, in having the long hair and having that supports the connection and to that sixth sense. But it doesn't mean that you don't have it if you don't have hair. You've still got your fucking roots and your follicles and your hair, your head, your crown chakra. I just think that there's an element of it that takes a mass amount of strength. Like, I feel like if you are, especially if you're a woman who's decided to not have her hair, then I feel like because of where it is on the crown, I feel like then you potentially will be much more open. And what I find with women that I know or that I meet that are bald and have made the choice to be bald is that they are fucking empowered to, like, you know, they, because they've had to make a choice to go, okay, I'm going to do something that in society would tell me I'm ugly as a woman. Do you know what I mean? But actually,
I tell you a story about that.
Go on.
When I was 5, so this is before my hair got cut off, my mom dropped me off at school one day. I don't know why. She was off work this week. She never dropped me to school. It was normally my nan. She dropped me off to school. She had her 90s hairstyle, which was relaxed, you know, side parting, swoop, almost like, you know, 1950s Marilyn style. Yeah. She always had her hair like that, and I thought it was beautiful. But she dropped me off to school, and then she came back to pick me up at 3 p.m., and she'd shaved her head. And as soon as I saw her, I started to bawl. I cried and I said, "Mummy, you're ugly." And she just laughed. And we had school pictures like the next day. I'm like, "I don't want you in school pictures with me. I want my nan in school pictures with me." And she just hugged me and laughed through it. She goes, "Don't worry, it's just hair. It will grow back. Mummy's still beautiful." At that time, I didn't see what she was doing. Mm-hmm. I was in that age where it's like, boys look like this, girls look like this.
Yeah.
We're now adults. We now know the world isn't like that. Mm-hmm. The world is on the friggin' spectrum. That is just the reality of things. The Kybalion points this out. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, I just see this, like, she had just been walked out on by a man,
mm-hmm.
left with two children. And she had gained weight because she'd just given birth to two children, and she was so feeling so insecure, and she just made the empowered fucking decision to go, right, new chapter, this is going to be a new stage in my life, get it all off. And that to me is just, in retrospect, so empowering.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that she did that for herself.
100%. And
No, I was just going to say, when, you know, when a woman changes her hair, you know, she's about to change something in her life, right?
Yeah. I just think, I feel like there might be another, I don't know, because I don't know how close it was to when you had your hair all cut off. But also, I feel like for your mum, for when you came back and she cried, I totally get that reaction. But also for you as a child, that must have made it worse. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, there is really something wrong with this. Like, but as your mother, at some stage after that, shaving her head, I feel like could also have been a bit of a support towards you. Do you know what I mean? Or even if it's subconscious, like because of what you, just to give you that lesson, like it's so fucking beautiful. Even if you didn't receive it when you were that age, even if you only received it as an adult, to give you that lesson. Because again, that's another really important facet of this. Like almost every single woman I know will do something different to their hair when they end a relationship. I always do it. Like when something big changes in my life, I will just cut my hair. It's just, it feels like necessary and it can feel like the biggest release. And so if we're thinking about it like that, like, okay, we're going, oh yeah, you can have long, glorious hair and be so connected to the universe and just like so psychic and with the animals. But the reality is that is a fucking full on thing to have. And it can be really empowering and really healthy for you to remove that dead energy. So I you hear about this a lot, like it holds on to energy, your hair, especially if you have like, if you have plaits or you have locks or things like that, like your energy will, I feel like even with the curly hair, because of the spiral nature of it, it holds on to the energy in a different way. Yeah. So then if you want to create a change.
Yeah, certain readings, this is why I always wrap my head.
Wrap your head, exactly.
Sorry.
You're right, exactly. So, you know, if you think about it like that in the sense of, oh, I've lost my train of thought now.
No, you were talking, I'm so sorry I interrupted. You were talking about how empowering it is to be able to make a change and get rid of the dead energy.
Yes, exactly. So that, I think we naturally do that. So we naturally go, okay, I need to make a change and then we'll just chop off a load of hair. I also used to, I really got into the idea of when you would cut your hair. So cutting it around like the new moon, you know, linking it towards that. Yeah. So again, a lot of indigenous tribes, and I think a lot of the American indigenous would do things like that. So when they were going to cut their hair, it wasn't like they would have their hair long forever and ever and ever. If someone died, you might cut your hair. If you wanted to create a change, you might cut your hair. If you wanted to let go of some old energy, you might cut your hair, you know. So, and then, so it's then how you cut your hair and when you cut your hair, the reasons that you do it. So, you know, for us, I think it's really good for people who are into this stuff to kind of be aware of like the energies of the universe, what the moon is doing, because you can then completely link in those energies with the ritual of cutting your hair and actually make it a thing, you know. So that's a really beautiful thing to be able to do, to go, okay, with the new moon, I'm going to do some letting go so that I have the space to move into this next phase, like get rid of that shit. It's such an amazing thing to be aware of, I think, because it's another place where you have complete control, you know. If that makes sense.
Apparently cutting your hair on the waxing moon is supposed to increase your power. So the waxing is when it just comes out of the new moon and it's just growing. Is it the other way around?
No, that's the right way. I remember it like this: waxing, waning. Waning to me sounds like on the way out.
Yeah. So as the moon is growing bigger, that's a really good place to cut it, to increase your strength, your power, your vitality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something so beautiful about this idea of picking, I mean, we're all about ritual here, right? It's what we do as animists, about picking a time and a place where you're like physically marking this with the universe and almost like collaborating, like, this is when I'm joining you in union and taking on that power by doing this ritual. When I think about hair rituals, I've always known my grandmother, I never quite understood. I think it's a very Caribbean thing. When you brush your hair, you take the hair off the brush, you either burn it or you flush it down the toilet.
Yeah.
And I think at one point my mom had to keep telling my nan, stop flushing it down the toilet because you're going to block the drains. But it's, and then when you look into like roots of like hoodoo, obia, voodoo, you start to see that this hair actually can hold power and can be used in spell work. So the last thing you want to do is piss off the wrong person and take your hair and for me can all be a charm. Next thing you know, you're So even in that ritual that she had, and I know we don't think of these things that we do as like a ritual because we're not sitting around at an altar chanting. These are rituals. We do rituals in the day to day, right? Mm-hmm. But this idea of taking the hair off of a brush and like ceremoniously burning it so that no one can take it and do harm against you, that's still important to me. And I shed hair ridiculously. So every time I do find it, I kind of ball it up and I do kind of try to burn it, mm-hmm. something to get rid of it, or I use it in spell work if I'm trying to like bind myself to an intention.
Mm-hmm.
It's just miraculous, isn't it?
It is.
It's what it can do.
Do you know what? I've got something interesting to say about what you just said. And it involves you.
Yeah.
Okay, so all I don't know if like... it's gonna be funny to say this out loud, but I do these little things because I'm a witch. So me and Jay have actually been in each other's physical presence, like as in actually met each other probably about 5 times in the year and a half that we've known each other. Almost 2 years, babe. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
right. So the first time Jay came around to my house with my full knowledge on the witch that I am and the big badass witch she is, I was like, she came around basically. I went to the toilet before she went to the toilet. You will not remember this. Because I was like, I've got a hairbrush in there and it's full of hair. I need to just take that hair out.
Yeah.
And it was such a weird little thing. Not like, I never, by the way, let me just put a disclaimer on this. I never thought that Jay was going to fucking curse me.
But it was just that, you thought I was going to hex you.
No, I did not. I did not. But it served, having a witch come to my house served as a wonderful reminder to just make sure I had no like fucking bodily
paraphernalia
things around.
Yeah.
Because of that, 100%. And if I'm honest, probably the place that comes from is because I may have taken bits like that occasionally from some people who deserve some.
Are you admitting that you've taken from people's hairbrushes in the bars?
I'm just saying, like, what? If you call yourself a witch, right? If you're sitting there and you're telling me you do spell work and you haven't ever gone and tried to get someone's toenail or someone's hair, then you're crazy. You're not a proper witch. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about.
I have considered it. I have sort of sat there and thought, how would it be possible to get the hair of some sort of like rulers who need not be rulers? I wonder if there's someone I can like write them a sneaky letter and go, can I just have a bit of your hair? I'm a fan.
Oh my, that's really
with
weird.
The hope if that someone, they sent
if someone sent you hair back for that, they deserve to be hexed because that's some weird shit.
Do you know what I mean? Right to their aid. By the way, do you think you can pull some of this out of the hairbrush without them knowing?
Babe, do you know who we need to get to know? The cleaners.
Who?
The fucking cleaners.
The cleaners. Oh my God. Yeah.
The cleaners. Okay. We're going to do some research. Who's cleaning down the street? Who's cleaning the palaces? I just need to know.
Send us some hair. Send us some hair. We have work to do. Important witch work.
Oh my gosh. So it is.
Remember, on this channel, we advocate hexing where it is needed only.
Exactly.
We don't advocate like hexing someone's baby mama for stupid this, stupid that. Like, let's use our hexes responsibly.
Yeah.
We have a whole societal system filled with stupid rulers who are probably the better recipients of that.
Possibly, yeah.
Back to hair.
Back to hair. Okay, so this is also a really interesting thing about hair, okay? If you were to never cut your hair, it would grow to a certain length and stop.
Right. Why?
Why? Do you say why?
Yeah, why?
I don't know, but let me look on the internet. apparently this is just like a thing. So your hair, everybody has a certain length their hair can grow to. Like, so you know, you have some people go like, my hair will never grow past this. Like, for some people that's really true. But I think for most people it would be like bum length, anywhere to like floor or just past the floor. If you allow it to grow to that length and don't cut it, then your hair will stop. It will stay at that length and it is almost like then that's it at its complete organ. As you cut your hair, let me see if I can find the I literally had it up here. So Yogi Bhajan says this. Yogi Bhajan has a lot to say about hair. When the hair in your head is allowed to attain its full mature length, then phosphorus, calcium and vitamin D are all produced and enter the lymphatic fluid and eventually the spinal fluid through the two ducts on the top of the brain. This ionic change creates more efficient memory and leads to greater physical energy, improved stamina and patience. So the idea behind that is that you're constantly, all your body systems all take different amounts of energy, right? Mm. So to grow your hair, it's taking energy, like from your, you need to fuel, you need to eat to grow your hair. So if your hair's cut and isn't at its full length that it could be, then it will always be trying to get to that length. Now, if it was left to be at that length, then you would all of a sudden have all that energy that was being put into growing your hair, put into other body systems, right? You then have this release of chemicals and whatever that are there because the hair is allowed to be at its full length. That, I just think that's really interesting, and it makes a lot of sense. And then the fact that fashion is so wrapped around, no pun intended, our hair, you know, where for women it's been like, again, I totally agree with it being empowering to especially to be a woman, mm-hmm. and especially to be a woman who likes to sit on the side of being a feminine woman, to shave your head, I think is fucking empowering, to step out of like the idea of what beauty is. But if we can imagine like that your hair is an organ, and if it was allowed to grow to that length, then you would actually have all this extra energy. I just think it's a really interesting thing to think about. Fashion for women is always about cutting your hair, dyeing your hair, doing something crazy to your hair, you know? And what does that take away?
I think it's a conspiracy.
It's a fucking conspiracy.
I think there's a conspiracy to ruin women's hair.
Yeah.
So that it shrinks us, right? Oh, you're going grey, cover it up. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's too curly, straighten it. Oh, it's too dead straight, go and fry it with a hot tong. Like, conspiracy.
Kind of fucking conspiracy.
Leave it as is.
And do you know what, babe? I'm actually
cover it, dye it, bleach it.
I'm quite excited to get, I mean, maybe the greys aren't. My mum has, I used to call it rogue hair, like Rogue from X-Men. Oh, where like she's got a bit of pepper grade going through now because she's almost 60, but she has she had just like this one fucking streak, and it used to just excite me so much when I was little. I was like, that's how I'm gonna go gray, and it started to happen. I'm really happy about it, and nobody around me can understand why I'm so happy to have these gray hairs. I keep on saying to my partner, like, oh my god, look at this, look, I've got 3 gray hairs, like, oh my god, it's becoming, and he's like, Nikki, you're gonna manifest more gray hairs, and I'm like, bitch, that's exactly what I want to do. I want my rogue streak.
I want to look like a wise sage.
A wise sage, yeah. Like, I'm excited to have, I think, grey hair. The only thing that I'm worried about,
I am.
And this is vanity, this is pure vanity, is that already the grey hairs that are coming through, they're a bit of a different texture, they're a bit more frizzy, and I don't know if I want to have, I just don't want to go there. Have to figure out the new product.
You're going to have to establish a whole new routine to deal with the fact.
Actually, okay, so can I ask this? It's another shout out to the peoples out there listening to us. If any of you are going grey, you're a curly girl, and you know how to handle the transition of having like some like melanated hair and some grey hair, and how you do the products different and stuff, please just drop me a DM. I'll forever be indebted to you.
Yeah, I think this is knowledge that everyone needs to
knowledge
know
that everyone needs.
Because eventually everyone or most people go grey, right? Eventually, how do we manage that? I'm not ever going to reach for the box dyes. That's never going to happen to me.
I used to do it, but now I watch Brad Mondo. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's like, I'm his number one fan, and he says no box dye. So don't do it.
Who's Brad Mondo?
You don't know who Brad Mondo is?
Why does he say no box dye?
Brad Mondo, oh my gosh. Okay, he doesn't know loads about curly hair, but I feel like I'm now a qualified hairdresser because I've watched all of his videos. So if you want to know anything about how to cut, dye, Brad Mondo is he's like a top hairdresser, American guy, and he just reacts to, he reacts on YouTube to people doing fucked up things to their hair. So it's fabulous to watch.
Yeah, so no box dye.
No box dye, babe.
Let's make a pact on this channel that we're gonna wear our aging hair gracefully, without worry about male gaze, about bitchy female gaze, about anyone's gaze. Like, it's an extension of yourself, an extension of your thoughts, your feelings. It's an extrasensory perception organ. which is essentially what it is. It's not dead, it's a living thing with its own living will. Let's work with it, let's understand it, let's not just try and suppress it and scrape it away as soon as it starts doing something that we're not too familiar with, or mm-hmm. something that doesn't fit in with what's on the cover of Vogue. Just let it spiral and take in all the energies. Maybe wrap it up once in a while. When I'm hanging out in a crowd, I'm always in a head wrap if I'm out and about and I know there's going to be huge crowds, mm-hmm. because I know how sensitive I am and I know how it makes me feel more contained.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess now that we've spoken about it more, we understand that it has nervous system implications and extrasensory implications. Your hair's yours, and don't let anyone tell you what to do or not to do with it. Ever. It's yours.
Rap, rap, rap. What Jay says.
showing your South London there.
I know, sorry. It's still in there. Take girl out of Peckham, but you can't take Peckham out of the girl. It's the thing, isn't it?
I think I'm going to say my thing.
Say your thing.
I think now is as good a time as any to wrap up. If you have any thoughts or feelings about anything we've said in this episode, you know, we've got our socials, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, at the Afro Animist podcast, Twitter, Afro Animist. Let us know. We're looking to grow this community. And in growing this community, it's about like hearing your thoughts and hearing what you think and getting your feedback. Because we're only ever, we put out content that we enjoy talking about,
mm-hmm.
with the hope that it's going to be content that you're enjoying listening to. It's a conversation that you want to be a part of. So be a part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I also kind of just channeling now, special shout out to anyone who thinks they have anything interesting that they would like to talk about with us.
Mm-hmm.
We are not exclusive. We're incredibly inclusive. DM us if you've got a topic where you think you would like to be on this show talking to us. We would love to talk to you. We'd absolutely love to talk to you.
We would love it.
So we'd love it. So give us a shout. Any topics around the mundane through the spiritual lens. That's literally it. You could talk about
everything, guys.
Nike trainers, as long as you've got the spiritual spin. We want to know. We want to know your thoughts.
God of Nike. Anyway. But, you know, yeah. 100% what Jay's saying is we really want to build community and have this conversation going. I also feel like there is another episode in this where me and Jay,
yes,
we make potions for our hair and we haven't spoken about any of that yet. And I think that's important. This is about passing on the knowledge, right? This is the research, the decades of research between us that we have done. Anything like that, let us know your tips on what you do for your hair, like what experiences you've had if you've had any spiritual experiences related to your hair. There was so much actually that we haven't touched on today.
We haven't even talked about. I think we should just be doing whole episodes on the back of every episode, the spell works that go around that.
I think
topic.
That's a really good idea,
because we do like spells for our hair,
yeah,
you know, mantras, affirmations, and they do work. My hair is really grow. No, it's looking really.
But your hair's looking fabulous.
Down, it's going off camera.
Yeah, exactly. How long is it? How long is your hair?
It's probably just below armpit length now, almost bra strap length.
Nice. And this is what we're talking about, the shrinkage, guys. We all have it.
Shrinkage.
Yeah. You look so gorgeous. Anyway, back to the sign off. Thanks, guys.
Let's wrap up this episode. Thank you so much, you beautiful, beautiful being of multiverse, for joining in on the Afro Animus podcast. I've been Jay Percy, the artist.
And I'm Nicola. Yeah, and you still are. And I'm Nicola. and we're just so grateful to have you here listening to us. Get in touch.
Bye.